Very thankful to church attendance. We see numerous problems amongst God's people. We see problems in our families. Divorce is at an extreme rate in this country. There's problems with relationships and many of the different aspects of the society that we live in. And oftentimes we question, why are these things so? Why is it that things have gotten to the point that they're at? And this morning, the topic on my mind is seeking God first, and I believe that if we'll honestly study out this, we'll find that our failure to seek God first and foremost in our life is added to the great problems that we have and the difficulties that we see in this country. I know from my own experience that there was a season in my life where I did not seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But even when events happen in your life and things change, the challenge for the child of God is not to lose his zeal and to fall into a state of apathy and continue to seek God first in our lives. This has been problematic with God's children throughout the ages. It's nothing new today. We're going to look at some issues or in some situations where this is nothing new, but the Bible is specific on what we do in life to receive God's blessings and the things that we don't do, whereas we don't receive God's blessings. When a nation is in a state of apathy or a country, we find a people whose hearts have turned cold. They no longer are seeking God. Now, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want us to think about that for a moment in our own lives. Every one of us to ask ourselves that question. Are we seeking God first in our lives? You know, we may say, well, yes, I do. I attend church every Sunday morning. I'm there when the doors are open, and if there's a special meeting, I go there. So by that idealism, we are seeking God first. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches us. Now, one thing we want to understand here is Jesus was the one that spoke this message in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. First of all, He didn't tell you that you were not to seek anything else in life. But He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The question we have to ask ourselves as we go through life's journey, are we seeking God first in all things? Do we seek God when we rise up in the morning? Do we seek God when we lay down our head on the pillow at night? When we make our decisions in life, are we seeking God first? The question is, if our life is not going the way that we like, if we're not having a fulfilled life, if we're not living an abundant life, could it possibly be because we're not seeking God first in our lives? Now, this promise was given in the New Testament by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself when He preached the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. But this principle has been taught throughout the history of the Bible, even in the Old Testament. Let's notice what it says over in Proverbs here in chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Is there any advantage? Is there any blessing in seeking out God first? You know, we're all seeking something, aren't we? Every one of us are seeking out something in life. There are those who don't believe they have enough money, and they're continuously seeking out a way to make more money, to obtain more money. Some people are literally not happy. They're not happy with their bosses. They're not happy with their jobs. They're seeking out something. You know, I read a book here not long ago, and there was a statement made in that book, and it said, everyone has to live for something. Now, you might argue that you don't have to live anything for anything, but you have to live just to live, if you would understand what I'm saying. You have to eat and drink and have clothes. You have to have the necessities of life just to live. Everyone has to live for something. But if that something is not God, then I'll assure you we are driven by the thing that we live for. Think about that for a moment. If you get nothing else out of this sermon this morning, you get that point. If you're not living for God, you are being driven by whatever thing you live for. If you are continually living to make more money, that'll be the driving factor in your life. If you're not happy, if you're not fulfilled in your workplace, if the relationships between individuals is not where they ought to be or the way you'd like for them to be, that will continually be your driving influence in your life. I believe that. We're all seeking something. There are folks out there who are unhappy and they're seeking happiness. They're looking in all the wrong places oftentimes, but we're all seeking something. Jesus didn't say that we're to seek Him and we're not to have anything that He created in this life. God's creation is a wonder and a beauty to behold. And I believe He intended for you and I to fully and completely enjoy what He had created. But Jesus here said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is God first in your life? Think about it for a moment. Is He first in your decisions? You know, Brother Stephen Boyd and me have a lot of discussions, and we talked about this idealism of building your life around the church, around the kingdom of God, and on the other side of the coin, there's this idea of building the kingdom of God or the church around your life. And I'll assure you, as you journey through life, if that is your objective, it won't be long till life squeezes out God, if you want to put it plainly. You will not have the time to attend worship service. Worship service won't mean much to you. You won't desire to labor in God's kingdom on a daily basis, because we're not putting God first. And this is something that has went on down through the ages with God's people. Unfortunately, as we all know, those of us who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. It amazes me that we have a book here filled with historical events of God's people that's played out over and over by one generation after another. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Honor God with all your substance. With all your substance, with everything. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You see, He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto thee. I believe that's a commandment. Some folks may say, well, that's not a commandment. It's just something you ought to do. However you want to look at it, there's a promise that comes with it. God will supply your needs. And to be honest, God has, to most of us, has given us far more than what we stand in need of. When the Bible talks about being content with what we stand in need of, it's basically talking about food and something to drink and clothing and shelter, a roof over our heads. But most of us know that God is a God who is rich in mercy for His a great love wherewith He loved us. God is merciful to us, and He's granted us far more than we stand in need of. You know, if you want to give yourself a personal task about seeking God, I ask you where you spend your time and your money. If you want to really get down to what's important in your life and what you're seeking first, just study that out in your life. It'll give you a very complete analysis of what's first and foremost in your life. There's no doubt when Jesus said seek Him first, He knew that we were all going to seek something. Sometimes we're seeking pleasure. There's people who live in this country, and that's totally what they're after, is to seek some form of pleasure constantly. Now, God didn't say you couldn't enjoy pleasure. You couldn't enjoy the beauty of His creation. But He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the Lord in your life, in all things. Let's notice what He says over in Colossians. In the book of Colossians, we can get over there. Chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." You were created by him and for him. Think of that for a moment. God created you for his pleasure. Not for your pleasure, for his pleasure. Now, he blesses us and allows us to enjoy many things upon this earth. But as far as why we were created for him and for his pleasure. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The creation today, and you and I live, breathe, and eat, and continue on or sustain because of the power of God. The Bible is plain and clear on that. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The word preeminence means to be first. Does Jesus Christ, is he first in everything in your life and all things? Is he first at the workplace? Is he first in your family at home? Is he first in your relationship with your husband or your wife or with your children or with your friends and neighbors? You know, I think it's clear that our relationship with him and our neighbors are two things that were condensed to two commandments in the Bible. First one was to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, with everything you have. Second was likened unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on the balance of these two commandments. In all things, Jesus Christ should be first. Is it possible that even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not first? Think about that for a moment. You know, we all come to church, or most of us make that great attempt to come to church. Is he first? When you get into this building and enter, is the Lord the most important thing, the most important reason that you attended church today? That you prepared your heart for worship and that you're here? Or do we come here out of duty? This is what we ought to be doing. Is Jesus Christ first in our life? It makes a difference. It really does. It makes a great difference. Is our life driven by serving the Lord Jesus Christ or by some other thing? Jesus said we're going to seek out something. There's no doubt in my mind. We're all seekers of something. We're either seeking pleasure. We're seeking happiness. Some people are seeking power. And then you find people who are out seeking attention. Oftentimes they did not have the attention that maybe they needed when they were young. And they seek out being seen of others. But the Bible says seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the Lord. Honor the Lord with all thy substance. Are we seeking God first? This has been an age-old problem. We find many times that as we seek out God and he becomes the first and foremost in our life, especially after maybe we went through some difficult times and the Lord has brought us to the end of our way, we see the Lord high and lifted up. But throughout history, including the very age and day that you and I live in, it's awful easy to lose our zeal, for our zeal, our zealousness to cool off and to fall into a state of apathy. We're going to find that this is what happened to the children of Israel. When we go over for a few moments and look into what happened to those folks when they came out of the Babylonian captivity. I want you to think about being held captive. Most of the nation of Israel was destroyed, and Jerusalem was in a great big mess. And King Nebuchadnezzar took the children of Israel, the remnant, and held them captive for 70 years in Babylon. Now you would have thought after such judgment had fell upon the people that when they returned and when it was God's will and desire to restore them, that they wouldn't run out of zeal. But we're going to find that it wasn't too long into that process that their zeal cooled off and they fell into a state of apathy and they begin to do exactly what is going on today. As I said, the challenge for the child of God is to maintain seeking God first in your life. Not other things. Now, God didn't say you couldn't have these other things. That's what I want you to understand. It's not about the other things. He never said, seek me only and nothing else. He said, seek me first. He didn't say, seek me first on Sunday morning when you go to church. You seek God first every day. Every day of your life. And if your life is not going as you wished it would go, if your nation that you're living in, and we're all living in, is not going according to the way that we'd like it, if our churches are not going according to the way that we wish would have them to go, I believe a lot of the problem is because we're not seeking God first. And when we're not seeking God first, that's evidence that we're seeking something else. Some people are seeking themselves, you might say. It's all about me. It's easy to focus upon the things of this world and lose our focus upon God. Because we only see the Lord through an eye of faith. Faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for. That's faith. We have none seen God with the naked eye. But you know something? God has never failed to deliver upon a promise that he gave in the Word of God. When he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the promise that followed that was that all these things shall be added unto thee. He said, you'll never go destitute. You'll never not have something to eat. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. There are promises in the Word of God that you can count on. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, let's notice that there was a man that we spoke on many times, you've heard preached on many times, who I believe sought out the Lord our God first and foremost in his life, and that was Solomon. He was a very young man, and he began to reign upon the throne of David, his father, and to be king of Israel. As a young man, he was scared. He did not believe that he had the ability to judge such a great amount of people. And he said in verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 3, says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. He was praying to the Lord to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon had asked this thing. It pleased God that Solomon asked for wisdom and discernment in judging people. He didn't ask for a long life. He didn't ask for his enemy's life. He didn't ask for a bunch of great riches. He didn't ask for any of those things. I have no doubt in all the Bible, this is one place and in one season or time that a man truly was seeking out God first and foremost in his life. God, Solomon's heart, was right with the Lord. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. He said, I'm going to give you this wisdom, Solomon. He said, there'll be no man that came before you or that'll ever come after you, save the man Christ Jesus, that'll have the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, I have done according to thy words in verse 12. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall anyone arise like unto thee. And also I have given thee thou that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. The things that Solomon didn't ask for, God in his rich mercy blessed him to have. Now, that's a perfect picture of a man seeking out God first and foremost in his life. But as I said, the challenge is to stay there. The challenge is not to grow old and not to grow tired and become one who is apathetical, in a state of apathy, which literally means they just don't care anymore. You know, when you lose your zeal and you just keep marching down that road, it is a challenge for all of us. Not to lose our zeal, it's a great challenge. To lose our excitement, to come up to the house of the Lord, to be gathered with the saints, to hear the Word of God preached, to sing praises unto our Lord. You know, we have seasons. when Timothy was told by the Apostle Paul to preach the word in season and out of season. Do you know that every one of us are in season at times and out of season at times? Unfortunately, we don't have that extreme zeal and excitement each and every day and every year of our life. The challenge is for you and I to continue in that, because we're no different than God's people have ever been. It's easy for us to turn cold, to turn apathetical, to see our zeal cool off, and pretty soon we fall by the wayside if we're not careful. We're not doing the things that God would have us to do. You see, when we're seeking God, it's a testament that we're seeking to do His will. When we're not seeking God first, it tells me that it's our will that's under consideration. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, he asked the Lord, if this be possible, let this cup pass. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. You know, there's times in our life that we'd certainly like for something to go our way, wouldn't we? We'd like for our will to be done. But if we're seeking God and the Lord first in our life, our prayer should always be, Lord, thy will be done in my life, in the life of the church, in the life of this nation. Is it possible that the condition of families and marriages and the churches and the nation itself is because we don't seek God first every day in our life? Is that possible? I absolutely believe it is. I believe it is a great testament to what's wrong and a great challenge for each and every one of us to put God first in our lives. We live in a world that is full of temptations and things that can distract us from God. The challenge for you and I are to seek God first, even when we're enjoying all the benefits that God blesses us with. Not to lose sight of the Lord. Now, I want you to turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Haggai. And that is the proper pronunciation, believe it or not. I used to say Haggai, but it's Haggai, like a hag. But we find over here in this prophecy, it's only two chapters long, but in Haggai and Zechariah, we're going to find that Haggai and Zechariah come to the children of Israel. Now, this is to the remnant that came out of Babylon, out of captivity, and we're going to find out that these people had lost their zeal pretty quick, to be honest with you, and they'd fallen into a state of apathy. We begin by looking over in the book of Ezra. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. Let's get first 2 Chronicles, though, chapter 36, the last two verses before the book of Ezra starts. You see, when the time came and it was God's will to restore Israel and to restore the temple and the proper worship at Jerusalem, He put it in the mind and the heart of this king to see this come to pass. Notice what it says now in verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdom of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. He had all authority over all kingdoms of the earth. And he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord, his God, be with him, and let him go up. What he said out of the remnant, all of God's people that are still living, he said, I'm going to give you what you stand in need of. I'm going to give you the authority. I'm going to give you the ability. I'm even going to bring the things out of that belong to the treasury of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar took to Babylon and put in his house. I'm going to bring those back to Jerusalem. So we find here that this is God's will. God's in the matter. There's no question about it. We're going to find in Ezra chapter 4, in the first six verses, it says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity, being the remnant that had come back, builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they come to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said to them, let us build with you. Now, what they wanted to do is say, let us join in and help you. Let us be part of it. But they said, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. The last part of verse 3. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. They began to run on to those who would not have them rebuild. You know, as we serve the Lord in life, we're going to run into the same problems. Those who would have us to go their way and to do things that they're doing. They don't like what we're doing. You're going to run into confrontation from time to time. And this is what happened. But in verse 24, it says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, let's go back to Haggai. In the second year, in the first verse, second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai. You're going to find out that in Ezra chapter 3, and we won't go back there, that the foundation had been laid for the temple. And that the young folks were shouting for joy and the old folks were weeping. And that's for another sermon and another time, and I've mentioned it before. The old folks said, we'll never see it again like it once was. And they were speaking of Solomon's temple, the temple that Solomon built. Just ain't going to be the same. But the young folks were excited and they were shouting for joy because the foundation had been laid and the house was about to be built. So that was an exciting time. It's likely or probable that the prophet Haggai, and I don't even say it right all the time, had seen Solomon's temple and its glory. But he wasn't looking back to then. He was just rejoicing in the fact that the Lord was at work among his people. Once again. This began in 586 B.C. And it was 520 when Haggai and Zechariah came onto the scene. For 16 years, these people stopped building the temple. And the Lord never commanded them to stop building. Cyrus had given them authority. It was even written. You go into the book of Zechariah and you'll find that they had to go back to Cyrus's place where he kept things and find where it was written down that the children of Israel were commanded by him to build back the house of the Lord. And that he supplied all that they stood in need of. So we find here that Haggai comes to Zerubbabel and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. This is where the excuses begin. The Lord had never come to these people and said, stop doing what I told you to do. He said, it is my will. It was God's will that they build this house. Now I want you to understand, in this sermon and in this what's being taught here by this prophet, is not just relating to building some building. It's relating to your life. Whatever you're doing in your life, are you building your own power? Are you building your own riches? Are you building your own prominence in life ahead of the Lord's? This people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. But nowhere will you find that the Lord commanded him to stop and take a 16-year rest. Their zeal had turned cold and they'd fallen into a state of apathy. He says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? I tell you, if you don't get anything else out of this today, you listen to that verse and you read it over and over. It's not just talking about some building. It's talking about putting the Lord your God first in your life. These people were building their own houses, enjoying their own life. Some of them were building houses, if you read the commentary and study it, that were fit for kings, literally the kind of houses that kings lived in those days. And yet the house of God lying waste. Do we ever go out and try to fulfill our life with all the things that life has to offer and leave off doing the Lord's work? Are we seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? That's a question that every one of us need to ask ourselves every day. Is God first and foremost in my life? Am I seeking God's counsel, God's guidance in all my decisions, in everything that I do? You know, some people have turned cold in this country. God's people, even those who go to the house of worship, they're not seeking God first. They've decided that in their lives, if they go to church on Sunday, that takes care of it. But when the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's talking about all the time, that Jesus Christ should have the preeminence in all things, not some things, not the things that we pick and choose, but in all things, in every aspect of your life, in your marital relationships, in your family relationships, in our relationships with our neighbors, our brothers and our sisters, and first and foremost, most with the Lord. And every one of us understand this. We're going to find out that things didn't go so well for these folks. We find out that when we seek to do God's will continuously, that God rains down blessings upon us. And oftentimes when we're seeking to do our own will, God chastens us. Some people might say, well, I'm doing just fine, but you don't really understand all those folks. They may be full of misery and anxiety and stress and not really in joy and peace and happiness. If we're not seeking God first in our lives, we cannot expect to have an abundant life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. But I promise you, you will not have an abundant life if you're not seeking the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost and every day. That we're told in the Bible to seek him first in time, whatever time it is. Time of day, time of week, time of month, time of the year, time in your life, and in place. Whatever place you're in, whether it's in the house of the Lord, whether it's in your house, whether it's in the house that you work in at your job. And last but not least, importance. We're to place the Lord as the most important thing in our life. Those of us who do not learn from history are absolutely doomed to repeat it. Because this has went on over and over and over throughout the Word of God. You might ask, well then, if I believe all the elect's going to heaven, if I believe that, you know, at the last day and when the dust settles, that regardless of what I do and how I live, I will go to heaven, you will. But are you interested in what takes place in your life from this point to that point? Wouldn't you prefer to be blessed of the Lord? He promised that if you seek him first, all these things shall be added unto thee. What if things got really bad? Do you believe the promises of God? See, what happened to those people is they lost their faith in God's word and God's power to perform it. Sound familiar? We all believe God can do things, but oftentimes we don't believe he will do it in our life. Is it possible that we're not seeking God first in our lives daily? Seeking God and his righteousness. He promised if we do, that he'll sustain us and fulfill us with all the things that we stand in need of. And I can sit here today and tell you it's likely it'll be much more than that, because the God that we serve is a big God, a God of abundance, a God who has blessed us above and beyond anything that we could possibly think or need, especially in the United States of America. Question is, are we seeking God first? Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's what we need to do every day, is consider our ways. Jesus commanded us in the Sermon on the Mount to seek him first. He didn't say we couldn't enjoy all the things that he's created. But in all those things, we're to give him the preeminence. We're to honor him with all our substance and with the first fruits. In other words, he's to be first in everything. Is God first in your life in all things? Is he first on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and every day? Is he first at work? Is he first in your family? It's important. If things are not going the way you would like for them to go in your life, maybe it's because we're not seeking God first in our life. It says, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink and you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. We spoke about Solomon a minute ago, and we know that the challenge for Solomon would have been to continue to seek God first. But we know that he fell, and 10 tribes were taken from him, and God was not pleased with him because he was drawn away from God by all the wives that he had. And we won't go back over and read it all. But as I said, the challenge for the child of God who's full of zeal and a desire to serve God is to stay in that position. And it is a challenge. It's not easy. Because we do have seasons that we're not zealous and excited as we once were. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. He had told him from the beginning, over 16 years ago, it is my will that you build my house. Instead, they put it off. They made excuses. They decided to fulfill their lives first, and then when they got that done, if they found time at any certain time, they'd take care of God's house, take care of the Lord's business, whatever that might be. Does that sound familiar? That's oftentimes how I was in my life. I'm going to get my business taken care of. I'm going to start a family. I'm going to get all set up where I want to be in life. And then after I get all those things leveled out, I'm going to bring God into my life. I lived 20 years of my life with that idealism, and it didn't get me very far. But you know, even when you see the Lord and he has dealt with you, if he has, the challenge is not become cold and apathetical again, because we as sinners have that problem. He says in verse 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man to his own house. They were running around doing what they wanted to, taking care of their own business, their own house, their own life, but they had no concern for the Lord. I believe we see that same condition today. Everybody is more concerned about what's going on in their daily lives, even though it's a vapor that appears for a little time and it's going to vanish away shortly. Even though in comparison to eternity it is nothing, a lot of us concentrate our minds and our time upon what we want. And I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the great ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of thy hands. The Lord said, if this is the way you want to do it, I'll take care of you. I'm going to bring a great drought upon the land. God can bring a drought into our lives, in our personal lives. He brought one into Solomon's life. Think about the rich man in Luke chapter 12 as in contrast to Solomon. He was already rich, but he wasn't seeking God first. He was seeking how he was going to live out his life. He was going to retire and do all these pleasurable things. And the Lord said to him, you're a fool. That's exactly, thou fool. This night I will require thy life. He had no concern for God or others. God had filled him with such riches that his barns were overflowing. But he did not seek God first in his life. See, it wasn't about the money. It was the fact that the money had got him in such a way that he no longer was seeking the Lord our God first. That can happen to us because of many things in life. We're not any different than the people of old. But I believe if you want your life to change, if you want something to really make a difference in your life, in your church, in your community, in your families, it starts with seeking God first and foremost all the time. That Jesus Christ had the preeminence in all things. You might ask, how do I do that? If you're doing something in life, ask yourself, would this be pleasing unto the Lord? Is this what the Lord would have me to do? Sometimes when it's not what the Lord would have us to do, we convince ourselves that it was. And that's what the children of Israel were doing here, saying, oh, it's not time to build the Lord's house. We'll put that off. The time's not right. Well, 20 years before that, nearly, Not quite. The time was right. God had sent it among men. And as a matter of fact, and we won't go there, in Isaiah it's prophesied that Cyrus, the king, would help them restore the house of God and the true worship that's to be in Jerusalem. This was not something that was foreign to these folks. They knew it. They were just unwilling to do it. They were more concerned about their own houses, their own life, and whatever it was they had going on than they were the Lord. They were not seeking God first in their lives. They were not honoring God with all their substance. That is such a hard thing for sinners and all of us to understand. We can have all the great blessings of life, but the challenge is to always keep the Lord in proper perspective, to always be first in your life. See, they didn't have their priorities right. The Lord had been dropped way down below. He wasn't a priority in their life. And I'm telling you right now, when the Lord's first in your life, it's every day. It's not just on Sunday. You know, ask yourself, what am I doing with my time? That'll give you an answer to a lot of things. How do I spend my time? How do I spend my money? What am I doing? I mean, you can evaluate that. Now, they wanted to justify it with the excuses that God wasn't ready for their house to be built, but they knew better than that. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, and the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. We're going to find out that these folks begin to obey the Lord once again. But this has been an ongoing thing. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you're going to find out that the Lord says, when you build goodly houses and your herds have increased, there's many lessons there, but he's talking about not forgetting the Lord thy God. He says when you forget him, as the nations that were your enemies perished before your very eyes, you shall also perish. Because you forgot the Lord our God. See, these people had fallen into a state of apathy. They lost their zeal. They no longer were desirous of the Lord. You know, they're kind of like I think I was. I didn't forget who God was back in that season of my life. I knew the Lord lived. I knew the Lord was important. But I'll tell you right now, the Lord wasn't first in my life. And I believe in this country, you'll find that that is the greatest problem in the nation, in our communities, in our families, and in the churches, is the Lord God is not first and foremost in the life of God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven. The challenge for you and I believe, is if you want something to make a difference in your life, God has promised if you'll seek him first in everything, your life will be different. Sometimes I think we're just like the children of Israel. We're filled with unbelief. We know God has the power, but we don't believe that he'll perform it. We don't have faith in God's word, nor in God's power to perform it. People turn cold and they turn away from God. This has happened over and over. It's recorded for us in history. It ought to be a great lesson for each and every one of us. God provides that we stand in need of regardless. But if we seek him first, he said he'll always add those things to us that we stand in need of. That's what the lesson was as it began in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 when he said no man can serve two masters. You know, he talked about mammon being riches and talked about serving him being God. But he also talks about the word avarice, which is part of the word mammon, which means those that have a great desire to be rich or to have things that they don't have. You know, we are taught in Matthew 6 to be content with what we have and not to look beyond the day at hand, because the troubles or the evil of the day is sufficient to look unto God. See, if we take it one day at a time and become dependent upon God, we'll always seek God's will in our life. We'll seek him first each and every day. And that's the challenge that you and I have as God's children, is to seek him first. I believe it'll make a greater difference in our lives than anything that we can do in our churches, in our nation, in our community, is to seek God first and foremost in our lives. May God bless you this morning.